we will read the Word of God and we turn to the book of the Psalms and we read Psalm 27, a Psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing. Yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. May the Lord bless his own infallible and precious word for Christ's sake. Amen. Dear congregation of Dundas, the text for this occasion is taken from the book of the Psalms. It is Psalm 27 and the 4th verse. Psalm 27 at verse 4. There we read the word of God as follows. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. The book of the Psalms are of the most popular in the entire Bible. And it is often said that is so because the Psalms give us a look into the hearts of God's people. They show us something of what goes on in the hearts of those who are born from above. And so it was with David. He was inspired by the Holy Spirit and we can learn much from him. This text tells us about his deepest desire in life, what his greatest longing was before God and man. So we will consider David's life's desire, and we see four matters. First of all, the preeminence of the desire. Secondly, the fulfillment of the desire. Thirdly, the object of the desire. And fourthly, the purpose of the desire. The preeminence, the fulfillment, the object, and the purpose of David's life's desire. David says, one thing have I desired. Does that mean that David had only one desire? No. David, like all of us, had many longings and desires. But it means that one thing he desired more than anything else. That was his heart's greatest desire. And that was his seeking above all else. So David was firmly convinced that his greatest and his deepest need was to be loved by God. He knew no other desire like that. His foremost longing was, if I may only share in the favor of God. What about the other desires? Didn't they matter? Yeah, they mattered too. And they mattered much. David had, for instance, a longing that he would be saved. He was often persecuted by Saul. He was never saved from a human point of view. So he liked safety. He liked protection. And he liked that much. But he liked more to be loved by God. And David also liked to become a king. He was anointed for that purpose. He had not said, I want to be king, but God had anointed him by means of Samuel to be the next king over Israel. And if the Lord calls us for an office, he gives also a desire for it. And so he much desired to become king, but far greater was his desire to be loved by God. That was his chief desire, but not the only desire. But he knew if he was freely forgiven, if he was loved by God, then all the other desires would be taken care of. Just as we have it in the New Testament. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these others shall be added unto you. God loves his people with an everlasting love. That love can never be fully measured. And if we may only share in that love, if we may only seek it, then we will be very happy. Then we will be deeply blessed. We seek so often other things first and say, oh, I will go to church. I will hear the word. I will pray. But I have other things that are more urgent. But David says, no, that isn't right. Our deepest longing should ever be to be loved by so great a God. Do you know the desire too? If you don't, seek for it, pray for it, Lord, work that in my heart, that I may have the self-same desire that David has, and the self-same desire that all God's people know. Now, how did David want to fulfill, that is our second consideration, that prayer? How did he want it to be realized? Was he doing it himself? Or planning to do? No. David realized that he could not do it himself, and that is what all God's children realize, that in their deepest need, they are altogether helpless. Now a child may say, if I'm helpless, I ask my father and my mother. But there are certain things that father and mother, how loving they may be, cannot do for us. They can pray for us. They can love us. But they cannot give us what we are needing most. And then, when we start to realize that I am helpless, no man can help me, but there is a God in heaven who could help David in this, and who can help you and me too, to have that desire fulfilled. God is so infinitely qualified to help needy sinners, and he loves to see us on our bended knees. He loves to hear the cry, O Lord, grant me that love, grant me that favor that thou dost bear unto thy people. For it is a blessed people, it is a happy people, it is a people that has a future. They have everything, for they have God. But what they have, that is what I miss. And I cannot find it anywhere in this world. I can only go on my knees and ask the Lord for the fulfillment of my deepest need to deliver me from the power and the bondage of sin and from the guilt of sin. I can only go to God. Now there is none more able to help us than God is. And he can never speak too well of the Lord. If there is a helpless person, if there is a needy person, there is one who can help you in such a surprising manner. This is David's experience, and that is the experience of all God's people. The Lord has never to say, I would like to help, but alas, I am too limited. I cannot do it. I do not have the power. I do not have the wisdom. I do not have the love. He has everything that is needed. So David had great wisdom. And he said, my expectation is from God and myself. No, from God alone. It depended on myself. It would never be realized. The promise, the longing, would never find a fulfillment. God alone can help. And he can help like no one else. But then David said, that will I seek after. I have desired it of the Lord, that I will do something too. I have decided after. No, not in that sense. Not the Lord does something and I do the rest. No, I pray to the Lord and to the Lord alone. That is my only hope and expectation. But I do not add anything to that, but I use the means. I use the means of grace. And especially on the Lord's Day, I go to God's house. And I don't dare to stay home. For in God's house, the Lord works wonders. And I never know when the day will be for me, the day of God's power, that He comes and speaks to my heart, so I cannot stay home. I use the means. And those who do not use the means, they do not know their trouble. They do not know what they are like and what they are needing, for otherwise they would come. And how do we use the means of grace? With prayer in our hearts. We don't use the means of grace saying, oh, God will do this or that. But we ask that it may please the Lord to bless them to our hearts. So we go to God's house, but we do not go there without a prayer. We pray for the minister that he may preach the sermon as it should be preached and as it is needed in the congregation, and that God's power may be on him. But we pray also for ourselves, that we may have the hearing ear and the willing heart. Use the means of grace, but never without a prayer. And do so diligently. For that is what David realized. If I pray to the Lord, and if I expect all things from Him, I must substantiate my life, that my life is not in disharmony with my prayers. If, for instance, I pray for grace, and I choose the ways of sin willfully, then my prayer does not substantiate, and my life does not substantiate my prayer. I need to be daily fleeing that which I know to be wrong and pleading the grace of God. Now we come to our third consideration. What is what David longed most for in life? What was his chief desire? That was to be in God's house. To be in church, that was the object of his desire. Many people like to be in church, but they cannot say that the Lord's Day is their best day, or that the worship in God's house is the highest spot. They seek to have a place in God's house. And that is what David liked most. As I said, he liked to become a king. He liked to be saved from Saul. He liked to be spared. He liked to be healthy and well. He liked to be strong. But his chief desire was to be in God's house, in the sanctuary of the living God. How much do you value the worship of God's name? Do you say, that comes first in my life? That is what it should be. Not the church, some secondary thing, but that comes first. And then we should go where the truth is preached. Many go astray that way. There are some that hear the truth and say how good it is. The next week they hear a lie, or even the same day, and they say again, it is good to be here. But we have to be of a discerning mind, that we know that we go only there where the truth is fully preached. And where is that? Well, when the gospel is faithfully proclaimed, we need the triune God. We need the Father. We need the Son. And we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Father to draw us to Christ. We cannot come in our own strength, but the Father has an infinite power, an infinite love, and a wisdom that is so great, He can draw us to Himself. And then, all through gospel preaching, the Father is needed, and He is proclaimed as the fountain of all mercy. It is God the Father who so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And the mercy of the Father is a deep wonder. But the redeeming love of the Son must be proclaimed too. He is like the Father in love, wisdom, and power. He has such a great love for sinners that He gave Himself as a sacrifice, as a substitute for needy sinners. The Son is the light in this dark world. He is the good shepherd who gave His life for the sheep and who draws the wandering sheep back into the fold. So the Father must be proclaimed as the one who draws. The Son must be proclaimed as the one who redeems. And the Holy Spirit must be proclaimed as the one who applies salvation full and free. The Father is capable. The Son is capable, but so is the Holy Spirit. If we only knew a little of it, we would never cease to pray, O bless Thy Christ to my heart. Make room in my heart for precious Christ, and make me to know His beauty and His power. Oh, reveal Him to my soul. David's greatest desire was to be in God's house. What is your greatest desire? Is it like David's? Then it is well. If it is not, then it has to be changed. Ask them for that grace. What was the purpose of David's going to God's house? And why do we go to God's house? Well, David would say, to behold the beauty of the Lord. To behold. David wanted to see something when he went to God's house. And he didn't want to see with the carnal eye, but he wanted to see something with the spiritual eye. He liked to see the beauty of the Lord. What is that, the beauty of the Lord? That is the greatness. That is the beauty of the Lord's character, of His nature. That is the Lord and His Christ. That is the Lord in His holy perfections. The Lord who is eternal, infinite and unchangeable, has a nature that is so marvelous that we cannot fully fathom it. What David likes to see is love that is divine. and the love of God is a great deep. It can never be fully measured. For the love of God is everlasting. It is from everlasting unto everlasting. And it can never be broken. It is a great deep. It is an everlasting love. And yet, there is something about that love that is very seldom thought about. The Lord has a love. And that's the amazing thing. For sinners. For sinners such as you and I are. Unworthy. Undeserving. Even ill-deserving. But the marvelous thing is, God loves sinners. Not that he loves sin. He hates sin more than anything else. And yet he has revealed the love for sinners. And then my question is, how can that be? How can a holy God love me? The sinner. How can it be? I was once present when three ministers were talking together. And there were two younger ministers and an older minister. And the younger minister were both agreeing that many people thought that God was able to save. But they questioned whether God would save, whether he was willing. And said, God can save, everybody accepts easily, but God is willing to save. Then the older minister said, there was a time in my life that I could not see how God could save me. And he meant, because of my sin. Too great, I thought, to save me in harmony with his justice and holiness. But God can love sinners in harmony with his holiness because of Christ. And that is the amazing thing in the gospel. There is hope. But Jesus Christ came not for the righteous. But he came for sinners, such as you and I are. Unworthy sinners, undeserving, ill-deserving, altogether without hope when we look at self. But God can love sinners in harmony with the cross. There is one who had no sin, who knew no sin, who hated sin, and who died in the place of others. He paid their debts. He paid for all their sins, so that there is free forgiveness for the chief of sinners. There is hope. There is hope. And there is a great, powerful hope in the gospel. In Christ Jesus, he was born for that purpose. And for that purpose, he lived a righteous life in his act of obedience. And he died an atoning death. I never heard, and I shall never hear, of a greater wonder than the gospel. It has never been fully described how great that wonder is. We from our side, all together, ill deserving because we are enemies of God by nature and of his truth. And yet, he freely so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. David liked to see, when he went to God's house, something of that special love and favor. He was not satisfied to hear, but he wanted to see what it meant for himself. And he could not be happy without being sure that he was forgiven. And he wanted to hear it from God's own lips. So the Christian says, he has spoken to me. He has revealed to me his love. The Lord can reveal to us our sins. And he does so too when he gives grace. But he gives also in his time and in his way his love. And he does that when he reveals Christ to our hearts. When we first pray for salvation, we sometimes wonder, will the Lord hear us? And he gives a desire for himself. And at times, we say, when will the desire ever be fulfilled? And then we say too, if I may only know it once, that he loves me. If I may only hear it once, and then it may seem that everything darker. We pray for salvation, and instead of seeing salvation, we see that we are lost. And so we may give up completely. And then, when he comes, he reveals that wondrous love. I have loved you with an everlasting love. And that love changes everything. Takes away our guilt, our sin. And instead of being loved, we are saved in the everlasting arms of God. Now David liked to see that not only once, but he liked to see that always, all the days of his life, to have light about the gospel, to have light about that great love of God, that great salvation that is forever and forever. That was what he liked to receive when he went to God's house. Do you know the desire of David? Do you know of that longing for that infinite grace? All God's children know something about it. The one more than the other. But they all know about that one longing to be loved and to be freely forgiven and to be wholly sanctified. David knew that, and all God's children know that. But that desire is not always equally strong. There are times that even in the life of a child of God, that desire does not live so long, so deep. Then there is unbelief, and the desire seems to be darkened by unbelief. But we should always seek to have that desire deep in the heart. Oh Lord, work so in my heart that the desire may be foremost to be loved by thee. And as a fruit of thy love, let my response be as the evangelist John says, we love him because he first loved us. And then we shall also desire that our loved ones, our fellow creatures, may know that same grace. When once we know it, when once we have true blessedness and happiness, then we like it so much that others have it too. For it is so awful if we do not desire to be loved by God and to be forgiven. And then we pray that the minister may preach in such a way that sinners may see their need, but also in such a way that they may receive a longing to be blessed with unspeakable great blessings. We can never tell how much we need the love of God. It is more valuable than any earthly treasures, more than loved ones, more than life itself. There is nothing greater. There's nothing more blessed. There's nothing that makes so happy than the love of God that tells us, you are my child. I love you. And I have loved you with an everlasting love. And I will never forsake you. Mountains may depart and hills may be removed, but my loving kindness shall not depart from thee, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, I will lay thy grounds with sapphires, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. There is so much at stake. There is so much that we need to learn. But that is the greatest lesson in life. And our chief desire should ever be, if I may be pardoned freely and wholly for Christ's sake, if I may only know the God of David's salvation, if I may only know the Christ of the Scriptures. And he has helped so many. He never turned one down while he was here on earth. No matter how troubled the poor and needy were, they came to him. And he never sent one away and said, I cannot help you, please go elsewhere. He always helped. Even when they were demon-possessed, he delivered them. So it was for the mother who prayed for the daughter. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Have mercy upon me, O son of David. And although he didn't answer her first, he answered her at last. And she became like a little dog. And she heard it from his lips that she was heard and found acceptance in his sight. He did so for the lepers. He did so for the poorest amongst them, the man that was full of leprosy. He fell on his feet the moment he saw him, and that's the best place. And he cried for healing. If thou wilt, if it pleases thee, thou canst make me clean. And he heard it from Jesus' own lips. I will. Be thou clean. Jesus never turned one away empty. He never said to the house of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. And he is the same. Now he is in heaven. He still does hear the cry of the needy And he still speaks of his love and of his pardon. He is most gracious, and the needy still testify about it, to say, when all was lost, when I was condemned because of my sin and could not find any refuge, when I looked more like a reprobate than a chosen one, then he came and saved me, the poorest of the poor. I was so ignorant, so blind, so corrupt, and yet he spoke that word of grace. Seek so great a love, so precious a salvation, for it will never disappoint. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Amen. Let us pray. Most holy God in heaven, we thank thee for this word about David thy servant, how he had this longing to be loved by thy everlasting love, that is a pardoning love, that is a love that forgives, that is a love that never dies. Once we may know it, it will be forever. Oh, how blessed is it that thou dost still work in the hearts of those whom thou dost draw to thyself. Thou dost create there a longing for thyself. And that longing is so strong that we cannot help but plead for mercy till we receive it. O grant that those who know that longing may have it very strong at all times in their hearts, that it may be revived where that is needed. But those who have never had this longing, may they see the emptiness of this world, and may they see that all remains empty apart from God and Christ and the Spirit, that they may long as they never longed. And where thou dost give the longing, it will be fulfilled in thy time. And that is always the best time. Lord, remember us further this day. Bless us and keep us on our homeward way, and bring us again to thy house, if it be thy will. Remember the one who will preach. Grant him wisdom and understanding, and bless the congregation. Be also with Pastor Bilkis and his family. Bless him with his home, and bless him in the midst of this congregation. Work mightily for him, but also in him. And glorify thy name. Remember us, for Jesus' sake. Amen.